Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. And today we are in lesson 12 of our Bible study already in 1 Peter. And our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is back with us. Hey, Connie.
Hello.
Well, I'm so glad you're here because today you've titled this lesson, by the way, A People for His Own Possession. So what are we going to be learning about today?
We are going to be learning again about how God chose us to be in Christ and just the incredible riches and blessing that involves for us.
All right. Well, ladies, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them up to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we've got two verses that we're going to focus on today, and that's verses 9 and 10. So let me read those and then Connie will teach. It says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Yes, thank you, Amy. We're going to, as we go through this, we are going to remember just a little bit from the last time we were together about how Peter was writing to us about Jesus being that precious cornerstone and then a stone of stumbling, and how some people have rejected Jesus. That was in verse 8. And then now we find in verse 9, Peter starts his sentence with, but, yeah. Which always clues us in to, in contrast, yeah. There's something different going on here. And so Peter's now talking to believers, and he says to them, but you are a chosen race.
Yeah.
And that word for race is the Greek word for generation, and it just speaks to a special people, a group of people that God has chosen. And then he goes on, and he, besides calling us a chosen race, which actually does remind us of how God referred to Israel in the Old Testament. And so just as Israel was chosen by God, in a sense, each and every one of us as a believer in Christ has also been chosen. We don't replace Israel, but in the same way we're chosen. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Back in Isaiah, God talked about his people being chosen. And he said, the people whom I formed for myself that they might declare my praise. In Isaiah 43:21. And so again, chosen by God for a purpose, and it's really to know him and to declare his praise. And back here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it then goes on, and Peter calls us a royal priesthood. And literally, that's a beautiful thing too. It says it's a royal house of priests. And we've already talked about how we as believers are priests in God's household, in his temple, but now we're called royal priests.
Wow.
And so there's the idea of rule or reign with that. And we know in scripture that Jesus talked about us reigning with him.
Yeah.
And so we not only serve God as priests and represent him to the world, but there is a time when we also will help him administer and rule. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing also. And it also reminds us of words that he spoke to his people back in the Old Testament. And so, Amy, if you would go ahead and read some of the words that we have there. I'm looking at the Exodus passage.
Ah, okay. You've chosen Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. And it says, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel.
Yes, thank you. And so there's many of the same concepts in that same passage, but again, treasured possession, chosen by God, but a kingdom of priests. Mm. And so like Israel was chosen to be God's special possession, we also, and also note the word a holy nation, which is what is the next segment here in the second or the first Peter passage, verse 9 here, it says a holy nation. And also we had that here in the Exodus passage. And the nation is actually the word for ethnos, and that means people group.
Okay.
And so again, a special people selected out by God. I'd also like us to remember that in the New Testament, we also find out that God chose us. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:4, he says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love.
Mm.
And again, when God chooses a people, it's to make them a people for himself and to bring them too close to him and to make them like him. And so if you're called and separated unto God, you will also be in the process of being made holy, because yeah. God will not allow you to be close to him with sin. And so these are also fitting together. So a holy nation, and then the next in our First Peter passage, we have a people for his own possession. Mm. And that's bringing that back again to God choosing us. But even more than that, those words actually talk about a people that God is preserving or saving for himself. And we get that sense again of God holding us in his hand.
Yeah.
When Jesus talked in John chapter 10 about my sheep are my own and no one can snatch them out of my hand and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, that is what God is doing. And mm-hmm. so if we truly are a child of God, we are kept and will yeah. never be lost. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's really the same idea of what happens in our lives also as we follow God. There's a preservation that happens. And Amy, if you'll read the Hebrews 10:39 passage, it's the exact same words about preserving souls.
Sure. It mm-hmm. says this. It says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
Wow. All right. So it's really that people for his own possession or people unto or obtaining preservation is what God is doing. And also it's what the Holy Spirit is working in each one of us. As we go through 1 Peter here, we keep seeing holiness
yeah.
and a changed life. And that's, we keep coming around to it. If we belong to God, God is working to make us holy.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. And then we find in the next part of our verse here that we find really the purpose of why God has called us, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm. And we saw that even in the Isaiah passage, God called the people to himself for the praise of his name. And when we talk about proclaiming the excellencies of him, the Greek word aretos means the eminent, excellent, wonderful qualities of God. And so as we come to know him and as we live lives that are increasingly holy and separated unto God, people not only see God in how we live, but we also have the privilege of proclaiming who he is.
Mm.
A beautiful thing.
It is.
And then who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as we consider the words darkness and light, Amy, you probably consider this sometimes.
Yeah.
What does darkness represent for a Christian or from a biblical view?
For a Christian, it would, I believe, represent separation from God because God is light.
Exactly. And definitely with that comes all that is evil and
yeah.
sinful and death and all that is wrong, really
yeah.
not good. And then light actually really is God's presence. And so it's the moral purity of God and also the truth of God. And that's what Jesus came to bring. He said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
And as we come to know God more and walk in that light, again, we've been taken out of darkness and sin. And we are God's representatives in this world to, again, proclaim those excellent qualities of God, which is an incredible calling.
It is indeed.
It is. And so then going on here in our segment for today, verse 10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And those words help us understand that Peter was probably writing more to Gentiles than Jews, because the Gentiles definitely were not God's people. They had never been chosen before by
yeah.
him. But he's actually quoting from the prophet Hosea, because Hosea, when he prophesied to the northern kingdom, to the 12 or the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, Israel, they had rejected God and
yeah.
worshiped other gods. And through Hosea and other prophets, God warned them that they were going to be punished, disciplined, and overrun. And so there's a part where Hosea actually names his children, not my people, and no mercy. And then later on, God talks about how he will one day restore them after mm. their discipline. And he says that once you are not a people, but now you are God's people. And once you not receive mercy, but you will receive God's mercy. And it applies to the Gentiles also, to us, if we're not of Jewish birth. We don't have that right to call ourselves God's people as Israel does, but God has called us. And so, Amy, if you would read the Hosea passage, that'll just help us understand.
Absolutely. This is Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, and it says, and I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say to not my people, you are my people, and he shall say, you are my God.
Right. And so once again, God is calling a people to himself, ones who will know him and enjoy him. And that's the purpose of our life, is to know God forever and to enjoy him. In Romans 11, Paul talks to the Jews about how they've rejected Jesus for the time, but one day God will have many of them return to him. And then he talks about how through Christ the Gentiles are being grafted in as part of the people of God. We have the incredible privilege of also being called God's children. And so, again, God's mercy is the one doing all of this, and we just rejoice in the fact that as he has revealed Jesus Christ and salvation in him, and we have come to know that and trust in Christ, we also now are children of God. Mm. So it's a good lesson. It's one for us to keep coming back to and think of. And as we understand that we are, again, God's people, we need to perhaps examine our lives and think about, how is my life showing God to a world, to a dark world, that does not know God's truth or God's light? Mm. And so that's what I'd ask each one of us to consider as we think about these passages here in 1 Peter.
Well, such an encouraging lesson indeed, Connie, and especially when we think of us as women. Many of us don't think about ourselves as a royal priesthood. Maybe we think mistakenly that, well, boy, if you only knew where I came from, how could I be a royal priesthood? But the Bible clearly says we are.
We are, and that's just the incredible blessings we have in Christ.
Yes, amen. All right, ladies, well, we're going to leave this here for right now. When we come back, Nancy and I are going to talk a little bit more about this, but be encouraged, because all of these 10-minute podcast segments are on our website. You can find those and download those, use those however God is leading you to do that at naomistable.com. There's also a study guide there where you can follow along, take notes, ask questions, and really encourage each other to know Christ's character even better. All right, we'll leave it here. We'll be right back in just a moment.